Christina R. from San Diego.
Hi. I'm Tina R. I'm an alcoholic. And wow, this is my first time speaking at a big meeting like this. And when I first got sober, I remember hearing like slobriety. So maybe I have slobriety. It's taken me a long time to get to this point. My sobriety date is July 27th, 2001. I got sober at a daily meeting in Pacific Beach called Dawn Patrol. This is the book that gave me when I walked into the room. When I walked in to AA, I mean, I knew I was an alcoholic. I come from a family of alcoholics. Everyone in my family still drinks. And that's just what we did. We drank. And I just didn't think you did anything about it. You know, you drank and you felt all that guilt and remorse and incomprehensible demoralization, and you just got up and you drank again so that you wouldn't feel that way. And that was, you know, pretty much the pattern for me. Growing up, my dad was a raging alcoholic. I think I drank my first drinks from his alcohol. I smoked my first pot from his pot. And you know, it pretty much progressed from there. I wasn't a good student. I wasn't a good kid. You know, I ended up dropping out of high school and moving in with my boyfriend. I had a plan to go to school. I registered for school. And every morning I would get up. I was playing house. You know, I think I was 16. And I would get up and I would make his lunch and my lunch. And he would put my little cruiser in his bus, VW bus, and he would drive me to school and drop me off, and then I would wave bye to him, and he'd drive around the corner. I'd get on my bike, and I'd ride home. And I'd sit in front of the TV and eat chips and watch soap operas and park my bike right out front because I wasn't too bright. And one day he came home, and my bike was parked right out front, and I was like, I forgot. They told me not to cuss, so that might, you know, limit my what I have to share, but... Anyway, so, you know, so at that point I was caught hiding in the shower. Again, I was not very bright. And so I just, you know, pretty much dropped out of school at that time, and I ended up working for his parents, and they told me I had to get my GED. So I did do that. And this person, this boyfriend, he was a great guy, but unfortunately he was alcoholic and a drug addict. And that's the life that we lived. We drank and used drugs 24/7, and we would get up and go to work and then, you know, just start our whole process all over again. And he ended up being killed and shot by the Anaheim police when I was about 22. And, you know, I don't know if I ever even really processed that until I got sober, you know. So my life continued on. I lived in PB. I worked in a zillion bars and restaurants down there because I was always getting fired. But I'm really good at getting jobs, so I would just go get another one. And, I went to my first AA meeting at the Alano Club in PB on Cass. And it wasn't for me because I didn't have a problem, you know. But I was there for someone else, and it's curious that, you know, I ended up getting sober in PB. I lived in PB for a long time, about 12 years, and you know, I did the restaurant bar thing, and those days just consisted of partying during the day, slowing down just a little bit long enough to get ready for work, going into work, and back then you could drink at work. And one of my jobs, I worked at Cass Street Bar and Grill, and we got shift drinks. So, like, if I worked a double, I would get, like, six beers. So it was a, you know, really, really great place for an alcoholic like me to work. And so let's see. Fast forward. I don't want to spend too much time on what it was like because when I came into AA, what I found out was what it was like for me was what it was like for you. The circumstances and the places and the geography and the names might be a little bit different, but the feelings are exactly the same. The incomprehensible demoralization that I talked about when I felt when I came in this room. And, you know, I look around in the sea of faces, and I'm so grateful. Oh, and congratulations to 90 days. I remember when I had 90 days. And it's a big deal, and I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad all you guys are here. And you know, I'm not here because I love public speaking. I'm here because I want to stay sober, and I want to be responsible for my recovery. And you know, this is a big step, and so here I am. Of course, I forgot where I was, but. I was fast forwarding. Okay. Oh yeah. So when I got here, by the time I got here, I was 35 years old, and I couldn't not drink. I drank from the moment I woke up to the moment I passed out at night, and I was still working. I don't know how, bartending. I hadn't gotten fired from this job, luckily, because both my managers were alcoholics. One was trying to get sober, and one was just an alcoholic. And I would come into work. Sometimes I would have to like beg a ride to work because I was afraid I was going to get a DUI on the way to work. And you know, and I was my job as a bartender there. I was in charge of all the money, and the servers had, you know, I did like be friendly and nice and make change for people. So I would try not to drink. I would white knuckle it till like 9 o'clock, and then I would just be like, oh, like this. Total like palpable relief when I could pour my glass of wine behind the bar, and at that time I was my manager, the one who was trying to get sober, was getting sober, and he was really vocal about it, and he was a big chatty guy, and talking about AA and you know and Dawn Patrol and he had been in and out of the program, and one night. For whatever reason, I was just so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I looked at him when he left, and he was leaving me to shut down the restaurant. And I was just like I just couldn't do it. Like another night, I didn't think. And I asked him, you know, where are you going to be tomorrow? And he said, I'm going to be at Dawn Patrol. Are you going to be there? You know, 7 a.m. And I said, oh, you know, maybe. So I woke up that next morning. It was a Thursday morning. And by the time at that point in my life, all I could do was drink. And, you know, so I remember this vividly. I had one outfit that I would wear, that I would pick, you know, like when it was clean, but that was like 5 days ago. And then I had my work outfit. So I had taken off my work outfit the night before. I found that there was blue pants and a blue shirt, and I put that same dirty outfit on, and I made it to Dawn Patrol somehow. And I'll never forget this man, Chuck. His name was Chuck. And I walked in, and he was an older gentleman. And I sat down, and he said, "Hi, I'm Chuck. Who are you? Or how are you?" And I just melted, you know, and tears, and just like I could feel the alcohol just pouring out of my pores or fuming out of my pores. And I just sat there, and I was given a book. And I was told to come back, and I heard all those other, like, AA-isms, you know, that I just thought if I hear another, you know, AA-ism. But for me, all those things, you know, came true. Like, I heard meeting makers make it. I heard, you know, get a daily meeting, get accountable. And I was introduced to the women, and I was told stick with the women, you know. And today, in my recovery, I do exactly what I did when I first got sober. I stick with the women. I go to meetings. I do fellowship. Like 99% of my friends and the women and the men and the people in my life are sober, you know, and that's how I get filled up. And I'm a mom today. And it's not easy. You know, it wasn't easy in the beginning. And I remember I didn't stay sober that day. I went home and I drank that day because that's just what I did. And I got, so that was a Thursday, and I got up the very next day, and that was July 27th, and I went back, and I didn't drink. And that became, and besides the AAisms, I just thought all the hugging, and it was really, really hard to, like, acclimate to this, you know, to AA. But I was so willing, you know, and I did what I was told. And I was told also that I don't ever have to drink again. And I was pointed out to women that had never, you know, that had come into the rooms and didn't have to drink again. And I took, I guess I didn't know. I didn't know I had any other choice. You know, I was told what to do, and I was so willing that I did it. I immediately got a sponsor, although the woman that I, the guy I was managing with, he said, you need to call this woman. She sponsors lots of newcomers. I need to call her. So I'm on the phone. I call her up, and I say, hi, it's Tina, and I'm just wondering if you can sponsor me. And she said, well, no, that's not actually how we do it. You need to come to meetings, and you need to sit down, and you need to listen, and you need to find someone who has what you want. And you need to, you know, sit down, pay attention, shut up, all that stuff they heard at that meeting. That's what they told us back then. I don't know if that's what they tell you newcomers now, but I mean that's what I was told. And so that was a pretty big deal hearing that, you know. And so sometimes I think that that encouraged me. That encouraged me to, you know what, screw that. I'm gonna get sober. You know, I'm coming back. So I ended up going back to the meeting. I ended up getting involved with this group of women who had a women's meeting at one of their houses, and it was a book study. And we read, you know, gosh, it's, I don't know, the first 160, you know, four pages of the book, and then we read the stories in the back of the book. And I love this book. When I first came in, the meeting, John Batrol also had, I think it was on Tuesdays, they read the book. And when I read this, I have it marked in the book. I was going to talk about it, but when I read page 151, and I still talk about it today, and it talks about the four horsemen and the terror and the bewilderment and the frustration and the despair. I mean, like, I am so melodramatic, and I just love the writing in this book. You know, it's like that's where I was. And in when I get in my, like, I call it tragic Tinaism, you know, when I get in that, like, this is, like, how I feel. And so I love this book. You know, it says it all for me. You know, and it talks about what it was like, how drinking used to be fun. And I mean, it used to be fun, but I had like 10 years of not fun. I mean, by the time I got here, I couldn't even leave my house. You know, I'd been to jail several times. I mean, when it talks about the sordid places, I mean, like, the more sordid, the better for me. And, you know, I could relate. I could totally relate to this. And it wasn't fun. And I kept trying to get back to that fun. But, you know, by the time I got here, I had to drink. I woke up in the morning. If I didn't drink, I couldn't function. You know, I totally would shake. And so when I read this book, I knew that I was in, I don't know if I knew consciously that I was in the right place, but I finally felt like, oh my God, thank God. You know, here's somebody's identifying what's wrong with me. For years, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I would go to therapy and I would be loaded. But I would forget to, you know, I'd say all the other stuff, but I would forget to say, oh, by the way, I'm so loaded right now. You know, I would call my insurance and I would say, something's wrong with me. I need a therapist. And they would say, oh, excuse me, ma'am, have you been drinking? And I would say, well, yes, but that's not my problem. You know, I mean, I just didn't get it. I didn't get it until I came into a meeting. I sat down in a room with other alcoholics. I was given a big book. I heard you guys share my story. I had no idea what was wrong with me. I had no idea how I felt. I didn't even know how I felt. You know, that's how disconnected I was. I had no idea what was going on with me until I came in, I sat down, I shut up, and I just listened, and I heard my story being told through all you guys, and I finally felt some relief, finally. And I got involved with the women, I got involved in a step study, and I worked the steps, you know? Oh, and at this meeting, God, they talked about God all the time and honesty. And I remember, they would say, like, you got to, you know, get God or get fucked, basically. And that's what they said. And I thought I was so screwed. I thought I was screwed. Like, I had no idea. I just didn't know. And so when I came in, I knew I could do step one, you know, that I admitted I was an alcoholic. I knew it. I'd known it for so long. I just didn't think there was anything you did about it. And then, oh my gosh, where are the steps? Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I had no idea what that meant, and I had no idea how to get to that place. And it was at that meeting that some guy stood up and shared that he could, must have been step three. No. Maybe it was step two. Anyway, so he shared that he could not believe. So when I heard that I could, because I always just knew I didn't believe. But when I heard that I could not believe, my wacko brain said, oh, I could not believe. And that was a turning point for me, you know? And I had that spiritual awakening that they talk about in the back of the book. I had a total shift in thought process. I had a total change in the way I think. And it was gradual. It wasn't like the guy who falls out of the bed and... But it was a gradual shift and a spiritual awakening. And, you know, and I continue to have those today. Like, I thought, oh, you get one spiritual awakening and then you're done. You know, just like I thought, well, shoot, if I quit drinking, all my problems will be solved. You know, so there was I had some misconceptions when I came in. And you know, through working the steps and working with women and coming to meetings, I continue to have these spiritual awakenings and these gradual changes in thought process. And so where I am today in my program is I continue to do what I was taught when I first got here. And I continue to be aware, I guess, you know, and that's really hard. It's hard to be aware. It's hard to be sober and to be aware, because then you're always like looking at your side of the street, you know. And so today I'm a mom, you know. Today I'm a single mom. So I've had to make some tough decisions in sobriety, and I've had to come into acceptance about things that I thought were true for me, that the more I got sober and the more I really realized what my truth was, I realized that that those things weren't true. And and I'm grateful. I am so, so grateful today that I am sober. And I have a friend that says, like, every day we wake up with untreated alcoholism. And that's true, and I have to remember that. Like, every day I wake up with untreated alcoholism, and today I have a choice how I'm going to treat my alcoholism. And my alcoholism isn't, it permeates every aspect of my life, you know? My behavior, my relationships, I mean, like, my business, I mean, I look at my alcoholism as like a big circle, and so every day I get to choose how I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna talk to other alcoholics. I'm gonna go to meetings. I'm going to work the steps, you know, and I seek outside help and outside recovery and, you know, in many different ways. I'm just open myself up to recovery, I guess. So, am I done? Oh, thank you.